What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for Wednesday on B&E. Be careful out there. Wet morning commute, slick streets, and colder temperatures, what you're dealing with. So be safe as you get up and out and roll in on this Wednesday morning, 8 February. Let me say happy birthday to my mother today, Buck.
Oh, Mrs. Hogan, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Nice.
Tie it back to LeBron James. I always tell you that my mother attended St. Mary's High School in downtown
Akron, Ohio. For the girls, right?
Yeah, and back when she was in school, it was St. Vincent's was the boys' school, and then St. Mary's was the girls' Catholic school. And after she was long gone, they put them together, and that's where LeBron James starred as a high school star at St. Vincent's St. Mary's High School in downtown Akron. We saw him make history last night. You'll hear it here coming up, but just happy, happy birthday to
my mother. She had to wear a uniform to school then.
I won't say my mom's
Catholic
age, but
school.
She's a little bit older. Yes, you wore a uniform.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For real deal, St. Mary's.
Absolutely.
And the nuns. But she still works. She'll be sitting there listening to our show. And what is this retirement thing we talk about? She's plenty past the ability to do so, but she's in her early 70s now, and she does medical coding right there from the home. So she'll be working and listening to our show and chiming in on a text that she'll text me all the time. So happy birthday to Mom back in Houston. 8 February is your day, and that's also the day after LeBron James became the most prolific scorer in the history of the NBA. I saw where he played 150 or so fewer games than Wilton Kareem to get to the record, which is noteworthy. We're also talking some Texas football. Here's a text. Says, morning, guys. I think Savion Redd will be fine at running back. Played all the positions at Grand Prairie and did them well. Kid has grit. I don't think he dropped any passes this year, but didn't get many targets. Yeah, and we saw Savion Redd.
Well, he didn't play that much.
He didn't. But he was one. Look, when they were, remember, they kept looking for a third wide receiver, and everybody got their chance. But when they did throw him the ball, it was typically one of those little quick screens and get it out. And that's an extension of your running game, anyhow.
Yeah, I mean, he just reminds me of a kid that's more of a running back than a wide receiver, just in his movements.
Yeah, and obviously that's what they've seen, and now they need help in that position. And
very similar to what Wayne McGarrity was like.
Well, that's good, but you moved into wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, it was
just because you had no room at the end.
That's right. I mean, he was more of a wide receiver than he was a running back. Wayne McGarrity was a special running back around the goal line, but by then I already had two guys. I mean, whether it was Priest Holmes or Ricky Williams, they could both get in the end zone. I didn't really need a specialist at the goal line, and Wayne could. I mean, Wayne's hands were unbelievable. I mean, great punt returner and a fantastic guy as a wide receiver.
Well, you moving him to wide receiver allowed him to play in the National Football League.
Yeah, he was never going to be a running back in the NFL.
Yeah, and of course, play with the Cowboys, and because you had Priest Holmes and Ricky Williams and Sean Mitchell, and
that was
many
tough.
Carries.
And that was a tough one to tell. I mean, that was tough to tell him. I mean, I just said, dude, there is just no room here.
Well, and think about how quickly the wide receiver room has filled up. I mean, the other side of that, with a new wide receivers coach and Chris Jackson coming in. There's just not going to be a lot of targets.
No, that dude knows what he's looking for. He knows about wide receivers. He knows exactly what guys, how they run, their movements. He's probably already seen that just in winter workouts.
Yeah, well, and the fact that if he does need more polish and more development with this current depth of receiver, might not get a lot.
That's right.
Because, you know, you got Xavier Worthy and Jordan Whittington and the healthy, I think getting healthy, Isaiah Nayer, and here comes A.D. Mitchell, who's already on campus,
wow,
the Georgia transfer.
That's a lot of teaching right there.
Plus, you know, Jonte Cook, the kid from DeSoto, is in, and he's an early enrollee. He's a kid who moved into a five-star category as a player.
You've got a tight end that's got to learn some of those positions out there, who can play those positions.
Yeah. No, it's a good problem, I think, to be able to move Savion Redd into a place where, again, you're replacing Bijan and Roshan and all that production. And an opportunity Where maybe he's a more natural player at that position than receiver. Is going to take a lot of work to get him at receiver, so he's going back to running back. That is the report from Inside Texas this morning. Hey, let's get to the other headlines, the trending topics, things you need to know as you get up and out on your Wednesday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you, starting the NBA. Historic night in L.A. last night. The stars were out. Star-studded crowd to see LeBron James try to become the most prolific scorer in NBA history. He needed 36 points last night to make it happen. And, well, late third quarter, he did just that.
Looking for James. He's got it. Coming to the end of the third quarter. LeBron James, a shot at history. And
there it is, the kid from Akron, Ohio, once labeled the chosen one on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. Connected on a step-back jumper to push his career total to 38,388 and break the record that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had held for nearly 39 years. Kareem was courtside to witness and congratulate LeBron afterwards over his family and mother. They also watched from courtside. He is now the all-time scoring leader. Lakers lost the game, by the way, to Oklahoma City, 133-130. Appropriate for the year they're having. In college basketball last night, K-State rolled past TCU up in Manhattan. That was the lone Big 12 contest, 82-61 final. In College Station, A&M held off Auburn, 83-78. High school hoops, big one on a win for Westlake. It was, you get more at flexatx.com, but they top Buda Johnson, 58-55, to move into tie atop that tough district, 26-6A. Get more at flexatx.com. Football news, or as we mentioned, report this morning from Inside Texas, the Longhorns have moved sophomore wideout Savion Red to running back during winter workouts. Also, if you missed it yesterday morning, Steve Sarkisian and the Horns added another highly rated in-state recruit, Warren Roberson, safety from Red Oak High School, signed his national letter of intent at a signing ceremony at his high school that was delayed by last week's ice storm. He's a top 50 player in the state by all the rankings. The DB becomes the 25th and likely final high school recruit in the class. In the NFL, reports this morning that the Vegas Raiders have given their quarterback Derek Carr permission to visit with the New Orleans Saints about a potential trade. Raiders need to cut or trade the 31-year-old before next Wednesday, or over $40 million on his contract will become fully guaranteed. Also yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, revealed during his weekly visit on the Pat McAfee show that he plans to make a final decision on whether he will continue to play football or not following a four-day darkness retreat that he plans to take after the Super Bowl. And there we go.
Let's just say, you know, we have a new producer, guys. I know some of your, it's like shock therapy for you. Like, here, little Miles, have some cheese and put your finger in this light socket here real quick. And, yeah, the music is different. Someone said, I feel like it's 8 o'clock. Who played that music? It's supposed to be 8 o'clock. Is it 8? What is it?
It's Jack.
It's Jack. It's Jack.
Jack's decision. We sit in this room and watch, you know, talk sports.
You guys can handle it.
Our man Ty, we're wishing him well because Ty is going to have some surgery. Talked about it yesterday. He's having deviated septum.
Yeah.
His sinus is cleaned out.
Yep.
Balloon sinuplasty.
Stuff that he's had for a long time that's been bugging him.
Yeah, that he's been wanting to do. So he's going to have that done today and next couple
I don't think it
days.
Was from the tree that fell on a car. He wasn't in the car. It didn't hit him, did it?
No, he did not.
Okay.
It just fell on his car. But you weren't here for this. So not only did it fall on his car, Chad Hastings told him to move it. Hey, is that your car? You might want to move your car. Next thing you know, tree comes down on top of it. But then he tells me if he had been at home and not at work that morning, a tree would have fallen right where he parks at his house. A big branch came down
right there
in the driveway. And I was like, man, you were cursed. You were your car was meant to get dinged.
Yeah, it was.
Because that's crazy. But yes, so he's gonna hopefully take care of that.
He's not. He's leaving the hole. I said, you know what's going to happen to the top of that, right? That will rust out, and eventually it's going to rain, and you're going to be like you were when you're just going to get just soaked. He goes, it won't happen. I said, no, those things rust out at those spots. If it's got that dent, you need to get that.
We're not back east. Not a lot of rust these days down here, is there?
It does rain, though, but like we're going to get today.
We'll get it fixed for him. I'll get my guys over at Classic Collision to use formerly AMM Collision. They'll knock that thing out. We'll make that happen. But
he doesn't even know what his deductible is.
Now, he doesn't, we need him to grow up a little bit. 25 now. He needs to know about the deductible thing.
Yeah.
But he also needs to get this fixed. But the other part is, He wasn't sure, because there were people scaring him yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, that they're going to have to break his nose to start this whole process. Like, I don't think they're going to break his nose. And you're talking about getting out a rubber mallet, whacking him in the nose.
Get it started. Starting all over again.
Poor guy's in there panicking. It's like, what? What do you mean? They're going to get out a mallet?
I said, dude, they're going to knock you out. You're not going to know anything anyway until you wake up with those two black eyes.
And it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
Tina Turner.
But yeah, he'll feel a lot better. I mean, he struggled with that.
Hey, so LeBron James did it last night. As this texter says, we're the same age. He says, I was 11 when Kareem broke the record originally from Wilt. Mm. I'm 50 when LeBron broke the scoring record. Time definitely marches on. That tells you the significance of what went on last night. I mean, you're talking about a record that has stood for almost 40 years, and it's been Wilt Chamberlain, then Kareem, now LeBron.
I don't even know who's the next guy in line. Who's the next guy? Would it be Durant if he stays healthy?
I think it's Kobe, but as far as somebody who can come get it?
Yeah. Curry, maybe?
Steph, he'd have to play a long time.
Well, he's,
I mean, Durant, you know, scores enough and has started early enough. Because remember, Durant started at 18, just or 19. This is part of this.
His injuries will keep him away from that.
I mean,
LeBron, be pretty clean.
LeBron was scoring 15, 20 a night as an 18-year-old, right? Straight out of high school. So, you know, that gives him a leg up. He's played close to 20 years in this league, or over 20 years in the league. It's just the consistency. It's the consistency. And here's the thing, right? When you think of the other great scorers who have, you know, cracked the 30,000 or 30,000-plus number, Karl Malone, Dirk Nowitzki's over 30,000, Kobe. I mean, all these guys at the end of their career were a shell of what they were. I mean, Dirk was averaging 7 or 8 points in his last season.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem was averaging 13 points in his last season. Kobe was 18. He's averaging over 30 points again. He's on a terrible team. You know, his general manager has done him no favors. They have not built a good team around him. But at the same time, and he's a part of that too.
He's a part of the general manager deal.
Yes. Same time, that team's no good.
No.
But the fact that at this age, and after all the points, he's still scoring 30-plus a game and is as good a scorer as he's ever been, that's pretty darn impressive. And, I know a lot of people don't like LeBron James. That's fine. I'm a kid from Akron, so I've always rooted for him. But we're talking about the most hyped and most scrutinized athlete possibly ever, who you would argue exceeded the hype. I mean, he's exceeded any. When you're the chosen one at 16, at the time when Sports Illustrated is still, you know, a massive publication,
absolutely,
that everyone reads. That's a lot of pressure, and that's a lot. And then you get drafted 2 years later by your hometown team, and you play 7 years there, and you know. Because remember, when LeBron was in high school, he was more relevant and more popular than the Cavaliers were.
Well, he lived up to the hype, just like Kareem lived up to the hype.
Yeah, yeah, and you know,
the Power Memorial. I mean, it was those are hard. Those things are hard to do.
And that's when Kareem and Lou Alcindor had to go to college.
Wow,
had to play school and went to UCLA. And you know, those are two of the most decorated and greatest players of all time. I'd also say for LeBron's side of it and where he stands, 10 finals he's been to. We talk about Tom Brady walking away with 10 Super Bowl appearances and 7 championships. I mean, LeBron's got 10 finals. He won 4 rings. He's won 4. He's got 4 finals MVPs, and he's still playing.
4th in assist right now.
Yeah.
Because that keeps on going also.
That's always been his strength, is to be an assist guy on top of it. So there's LeBron. We'll take your thoughts. Pretty good. This says, I did that surgery about 4 months ago. The recovery was awful. Oh, no. Having your nose totally packed with gauze for a week. I ended up giving a hematoma on my septum. Had to have it drained, and then my nose repacked for another week. I've never wanted
another mallet to the nose twice? Wow.
I never want to hear that phrase again. A hematoma on my septum.
Mm-mm.
No, thank you. Best of luck to Ty. Had that done in 2014. Drugged up a couple days, back 100% after a week. Worth it to finally breeze through my nose year round. It says Steph is halfway. He's about 17,000 points behind LeBron James, and that really is. I mean, if there's one word that's LeBron, it's been consistent. It's year in, year out. He's got a record right now of 10 or scoring 10 or more in a game, and it's at like 1,300. I mean, he doesn't miss games. He doesn't get hurt. And again, whether you love him or hate his politics or all that, I mean, it's hard to argue with his. His consistency, and he's one of the 2 or 3 greatest players of all time.
I mean, and this is a league full of unbelievable players and unbelievable stories, and his just continues on. As you said, from when he was 16 years old, I mean, when you get the chosen one and everything else thrown on you, and you then live up to the hype. You know what I'm saying? That's incredible.
Maybe exceed it.
Yeah, or I would say
it's hard for a young guy. And again, he's never been really in trouble off the court, which is impressive too. Done a lot of good for his community. So again, there's LeBron James. Let's dive into the Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. You know, you find it online at avconsultations.com. We'll pick that up here coming up. I saw this, you know, Joe Lunardi. He does the bracketology.
Oh, the bracketology.
He's the bracketologist. You're the doctor of bracketology when the brackets come out. Oh, when they come out, yeah. Picks.
When I take all those number one seeds all the way.
But right now, he's got his latest updated yesterday, actually this morning, of the bracketology. And we have about a month where it's February the 8th. So next month, it'll be Longhorns will wrap up their regular season March 4th hosting Kansas. We know the Longhorns still sitting atop the Big 12 at 8-3, and they've got four games coming, three of them at home that are winnable for them as far as no ranked teams outside of Iowa State. But right now, here's what Lunardi has. His one-line seeds, the one seeds, would be Purdue with Zach Edey, who's likely player of the year, Alabama, Houston, and Arizona.
Okay.
Two seeds, Tennessee, Kansas, UCLA, and Texas.
Makes sense.
Yep, has the Longhorns as a two. But it's fair to say that, you know, that's close enough. If the Longhorns could go 4-0 in their next four, which they can do. I mean, you've got West Virginia. Then you're going to Lubbock to play a 1-9 Texas Tech team. Then you're coming back home for back-to-back home games that are winnable. Iowa State would be the best team in this next four-game stretch, and that game's here. If you could get yourself to 12-3 and you know, those final three games with Baylor, that include Baylor and Kansas, you know, Texas could play their way into a one seed. That's not out of the question where they are right now. But Purdue, Alabama, Houston, and Arizona. And, you know, I'd love to see Houston playing. We'll get to see them in the Big 12 starting next year. You know, Houston just doesn't have to play the level of competition night in, night out.
Dude, we're right down the road. The Final Four is right down the road from us.
It's in Houston.
Yeah.
It's in Houston this year, so keep that in mind. Yeah, Tennessee, Kansas, UCLA, and Texas are his two seeds. Three, Marquette.
Shaka,
who lost last night. They got beat by UConn pretty badly. Iowa State, they're a three seed according to Lunardi. Baylor. That's Big 12. Virginia. And then the four seeds, K-State, Xavier, Gonzaga, and TCU. So a lot of Big 12 flavor in there. You've got one, two, three, four, six Big 12 teams that would be two through four seeds. That shows you how deep the conference is. Also on the bubble, by the way, he currently has eight Big 12 teams in the tournament. So every team in the Big 12 would be in the field of 68. Except for Texas Tech, and I think right now he would have Oklahoma State out. No, he's got him in. He's got Oklahoma State as one of the last four in.
Right.
Last four in currently. But a month to play, Longhorns sitting on the two-seed line. They could play their way up potentially. But, man, you sit at a two-seed, you play the 15 in that first matchup. Longhorns would love to see that. And you're right. For University of Houston and Texas and Baylor, I mean, the Final Four is in Houston at NRG Stadium.
That is unbelievable.
That's pretty cool. How about the teams that are on the bubble? Last four byes. West Virginia out of the Big 12, USC, Kentucky, and Arkansas. Who'd have thought Arkansas, with the preseason hype, that they would be...
Still a young, very young basketball team.
A lot of freshmen. And the Aggies, unfortunately, even though they won last night, he still has the Aggies as a first four out. First four out, not yet in. So, work to do.
Well, they get a couple of good wins in the SEC, which... You know, they're kind of top-heavy, but they've got some really good teams.
Lunardi Alabama, has six Auburn. SEC teams in the tournament, seven ACC, eight Big 12 and Big 10. So,
Aggies need to win to some games.
Aggies do. And they did. They won line last night.
Mm-hmm.
But Longhorns, I just think the Horns are sitting in such a good spot. I know yesterday was a frustrating conversation about the loss and Tyrese Hunter's struggles and the slow starts and all the stuff. But it is nitpicking because they are sitting atop the best conference and they have a chance to stretch that out a little bit. If they can you know take this week, because they don't play again until Saturday morning, 11 o'clock with West Virginia, and get some of these things sorted out, take a deep breath. Because
and they're not big things.
No, they took that. I mean, that four-game gauntlet was unprecedented for to play four top 11 or top 10 teams in four straight games, three on the road. I mean, that is you get to take a breath. Rodney said they're getting a day off. When they gave them a day off yesterday. Remember, they didn't leave the state of Kansas once they got there. They played two games up there. Now they come home. You see if this team can hit the court. And I would say this to the fans. Get on out there. That's an 11 o'clock game on Saturday at Moody Center They're going to need that early crowd because that can be a late arriving crowd sometimes. But, you know, 11 in the morning, still letting the coffee kick in, get after it. I also saw where the Texas women's coach, Vic Schaefer, has pledged $10,000 of his own money if they can get 10,000 or more fans to show up for their regular season finale. He's already promised that. He's going to give 10 grand of his own cash to the neighborhood Longhorn.
That's awesome.
Program, which is really cool. That game is against Baylor. Remember, Texas beat Baylor earlier this year. They rarely beat Baylor, but that'll be February 27th at 6 o'clock. He wants to be able to give that money, so they're trying to get the crowd support up there for the women's side, who are also in first place.
Absolutely.
Atop the Big 12 Conference. So there you go.
Yeah, but, this week, I mean, West Virginia, that's one of those teams you got to be careful of, too. All the teams.
We just said it with Lenardi. They're on the bubble.
Yeah.
They need wins. They need some quad one wins, as they call them, and Texas would certainly be that. But that's where it stands. We will continue these conversations coming up. We'll get back into the Super Bowl, which is coming up on Sunday. It's probably the better roster and team in the Eagles against that guy, Patrick Mahomes. How healthy can he be? We saw what he did on one leg in the AFC Championship game. No running game either, and you know, kind of willed his team to a win over the Bengals when they were underdogs. They're underdogs in this game as well. We'll get back into the Super Bowl preview, plus a little hot or not for the end of the hour on a busy but wet and rainy Wednesday morning here on the Horn.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the Horn on a Wednesday. Our man Jack producing the show this morning, doing a nice job.
Happy Jack.
Happy Jack, yeah. He will help us with some hot or not topics coming up as Ty has his work done on his sinuses. This is, I had that nasal surgery. Awful recovery. Had an infection, 11 months. Don't do it. People are terrifying, Ty, if he's listening right now. I would also say my mother, on her birthday, Buck, texted to say, tell Bucky I wore a uniform to Catholic school for 12 years.
12 years, yeah.
12 years at St. Mary's High School in downtown
Akron. I wore the little tie.
Ohio. Here's a good text. As you guys keep in mind that current NBA players from the last 10 years or so were very accustomed to load management. It would take them even longer to amass the required stats to break that record. I don't think it can be broken now. That's true. I do mean, for a long time, because it was held for almost 40 years by Kareem, a lot of people thought that was an unbreakable record. I mean, this one could become an unbreakable record in the NBA because LeBron is only 38 and he's still playing and scoring 30 a night. So the number is going to continue to go up.
Yeah, until he plays with his son, he's going to keep on putting numbers
feels like
up there.
It. And, you know, that's true. And to the texter's point, the load management thing. Now, remember, the NBA is getting rid of the one-and-done rule here coming up with the new collective bargaining agreement, so players will be able to go just like LeBron did, straight from high school to college, or not have to go to the year in college. That's coming to an end. But, yeah, I agree. Now, the load management thing is interesting because a couple of weeks ago, Stan Van Gundy, or no, it was Jeff Van Gundy, one of the Van Gundy brothers. He took to his Twitter account and made a very astute point. Oh, well, it was Stan Van Gundy, not Jeff. He said, 90s NBA teams had just a trainer and a strength coach. They practiced more often and harder, and they played more backs-to-backs, and teams now have huge medical and performance staffs. They value rest over practice, yet injuries and games missed are way up. Something's not working. I think that's very interesting. I'm not criticizing players. I'm saying that we're getting something wrong how we prepare and train these players. That's very, very true, right? I mean, the more we do load management and the more it's like you got to protect these guys for the playoffs, it does feel like more and more guys get hurt. I mean, go back to when basketball was basketball in the 90s. I mean, it was a brutally physical game. Guys didn't take nights off. They did practice hard. And what do you think has led to...
Well, they work hard. They're off the court training, you know what I mean? I know you've got your regular training there, but some have individual trainers. And, I mean, the training regimens are, I got to be a little bit harder.
Now?
Yeah. As they prepare themselves, I mean, the body takes, I mean...
It's more specialized now, for sure. And as he said, you have these elaborate training staffs with all these different ways to train. But, you know...
But I think you train just as hard or harder than back in the day.
But they don't play as many games, and they don't practice nearly as much, which I think has impacted the quality of the game itself.
Oh, yeah, as Stan said, I mean, when they had off days of practice, they practice.
Hard.
Or just shoot around.
Yeah, I mean, yet injuries are up, and it seems like more and more often we see these star players missing multiple games and long stretches, and not like there weren't injuries in the 90s and into the 2000s, but it does feel like Van Gundy's right that load management may not be working. I mean, maybe playing more. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. It's his players today. Got to be a reason for it. We'll take your thoughts on it. Specs text line 512-337-3776. But LeBron James got it done. Let's also remember with Kareem Buck, he never made a three-pointer. That's also to be noted. LeBron's made plenty of threes in his day.
He owned the paint.
He owned the paint. The sky hook, baby.
Man.
He also owned his role in Airplane.
Yes, he did.
I mean, come on, man. It says, E, you feel okay? No, I feel good. Got a little raspy throat. I did take my Z-Pack yesterday, Buck, my first meeting.
Oh, man, those are...
I took the two pills, and I'll take one and one and one. I'll get through it.
You know, I've been pretty fortunate. I haven't had the Z-Pack in a couple years now. I don't have the minor things like
I don't know what happened.
COVID. I have strokes. I don't have those little minor.
No. Thanks a lot.
And plus, you know, I'll never have the flu, so we know that.
Never have the flu. I just woke up on Sunday morning, little sore throat, and next thing you know, I'm going froggy. So get ahead of that. I'll be all right.
I got a call from one Brad Kelders who let me know that he was struggling last week from the flu. And he said, you know what? I forgot to say I'll never have the flu. He said, I haven't talked to myself about that. And he said, and then I got the flu. I said, well, all you have to do is tell yourself you'll never have the flu. Should be okay.
We have to get BK on the show, talk some Houston sports. And D'Amico Ryans is in, and also the Houston Cougars sitting as a one seed right now in the top four. For Kelvin Sampson, we'll take some.
I watched them play last week. Man, what a team they have. That backcourt, that Sasser kid is unreal. How many years does he get to play?
A lot these days. Well, the thing with Houston is that the level of competition they're facing in their in the American Athletic Conference is, you know, how good is it?
I mean, I think you'll find out a lot about a team like Cincinnati's not bad, Tulane's not bad in their conference. They got like three or four teams. Is Temple in their group?
Well, there's a difference between not bad and being really good. And
I mean, no, it's not the Big 12. It's not Kansas,
right? And you know that becomes when I look at the American Athletic Conference currently has two teams in the tournament. Houston would be one of them. Two total, according to Joe Lunardi. So that I'm not doubting what Kelvin Sampson's done and what he's doing. He's doing a great job. But guess what? Next year, they're going to get a big comeuppance when they start playing in the new Big 12 because the Longhorns will be in the Big 12 for another year at least in basketball. And we know what goes on in this conference. And next year, it becomes a 14-team conference. Houston, if they're still playing as a one seed next year and sitting at number one in the country or number two, then you'll say, because they're a good team. But it's just the grind. They don't have to face that game after game grind that you do in the Big 12. I do think a lot of that is why the last two champions have come from the Big 12 conference, and three of the last three times they've played the Final Four, the Big 12 has had a team in the championship because Texas Tech was there when they lost to Virginia. Not to say Houston's not good.
Look at them, they're not. West Virginia, they're more like K-State at times when you watch the way they play and their backcourt and their what you call big men. I mean, they're very similar to K-State, I believe.
Yeah, they are.
And they're not like...
Great backcourt.
Yeah.
And Kelvin Sampson, we know what he does on the defensive end and coaches up the physical brand of D. But, you know, coming from that conference, we'll see. But right now they are on the one seed line, according to Joe Lunardi, in college basketball. So we got hoops on the brain. High school, college, and pro basketball for sure. We've also got the Super Bowl coming fast and furious on Wednesday. On this Wednesday, we got three or four more days before it kicks off at 5:30. What are you doing the Super Bowl plan at your house?
Yeah,
just straight up.
I just do some deviled eggs, and.
But it's just you and the wife.
Yeah, I mean I like to watch the games.
Me
I know
too.
People. I mean, people go to parties and all that stuff. I really do like to watch. I mean, I don't get that all-day stuff where I got to see every commercial and all that. It doesn't matter to me. If I catch them, I catch them. But I like about an hour before the game, hour and a half before the game.
The commercials have become kind of not as good. I mean, there's only so much you can do to make people pay attention. But at the same time, you know,
I like the stories that lead up to the Super Bowl.
And I do, too. And there'll be some great ones in this. I mean, obviously, the Andy Reid angle will be told, the Kelce's. Head-to-head in the Super Bowl for the first time.
Two quarterbacks
from Texas, both black quarterbacks is a big one. And they'll do digging and find some great storylines that around this game. Are you ready for some prop bets?
At least
Sterling will be on our show Friday to help us with his favorite prop.
I'm going tails to
and
start
remember,
off the win this
and
year.
And remember this with Lee Sterling. He'll be with us Friday at 9 o'clock. Lee from ParamountSports.com. He lives in Miami, and his daughter, who was a cheerleader at Miami, the U, back in the day, she's sung the national anthem all over the world country, right?
Yes.
She's a great singer, great vocalist. Like she sings the anthem at the Heat game and all this stuff all the time. And so every year he comes on and she does the due diligence and the research of the Super Bowl national anthem performer. And she's gotten it right every time. Every time Lee gives it to us, he's right because she's paid attention. You know who's doing the anthem this year? Chris Stapleton. The great Chris Stapleton. And it's like 2-0-something. I would lean under, but then somebody told me yesterday that typically when it's a country singer, they tend to go over because they try to...
They twang it out a little bit, do they?
And I just saw, you know, Chris Stapleton doing a great performance with Stevie Wonder the other night in the Grammys, which was awesome. I look forward to that. But he will sing the national anthem. 2 minutes and 5 seconds is the over-under for Chris Stapleton. And then you can also bet on when he says the length of the word brave in the national anthem, the final word, you can bet on that. I don't think you will, though.
No. I like to listen to that one. That's the one I listen to.
Of course, Rihanna is the halftime entertainment, the Barbadian Rihanna. Are we excited about Rihanna? Because I know I was excited when they did the hip-hop one in L.A. I was, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm pumped. I'm not the biggest Rihanna fan, but I'll pay attention. I'll watch it. Her first song. Is it going to be Don't Stop the Music? Is the guess.
That's yeah.
Highest odds. Her best odds. So there you go. So we'll get the prop bets. Lee Sterling. Also today, by the way, speaking of 9 o'clock today, from Radio Row at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Brian Billick. Brian Billick.
Very nice.
He is the former Baltimore Ravens coach who now does great analysis on TV. Get his thoughts on this game. Brian's won a Super Bowl as a head football coach. He'll be with us from our location on Radio Row. Appreciate Super Bowl Stu Myrick for lining that up. That'll be a good convo. And you know what I have recorded that I haven't watched yet on my DVR is the 30 for 30 on Baltimore, the Ravens. I think it's called the Bullies of Baltimore or something like that, or the Baltimore Bullies. I need to go watch that because that was – we talk about great
– That's an ESPN deal?
Yeah, it's a 30 for 30.
Okay.
I've got them all recorded, and I need to go back and start combing through some. That's what I need to see because that was the – you know, we talk about the best defenses in Super Bowl history. It's the 85 Bears. It's the 2000 Ravens. And I keep saying this about these Eagles. These Eagles have a chance to break the sack record that the Bears set for a season. This team can play some defense. Their secondary can be gotten sometimes, and this is where you look at Patrick Mahomes. But at the same time, this pass rush, they go 7-8 deep with guys they can rotate in there, keep them fresh, and get after the quarterback. And
I know they need 5 sacks to do it. I don't see 5 sacks
with a limited mobility quarterback potentially.
Yeah, but I still don't see 5. That'll be a lot.
Well, the one thing you see with the Eagles this year is when they get pressure, they get the quarterback down, and they hurt 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah, they did.
And they get it from the interior, the edges, but they also get it from the interior with guys like Ndamukong Suh. I don't know. Can they get 5 sacks to pass the Bears? I don't know. But I just, you know, if Patrick Mahomes were 100% healthy, maybe. But, you know, and you go back to what Mahomes did in that AFC Championship game on one leg to throw for 326 yards and 2 touchdowns with no running game at all. Still impressive. As it can be, what he did to get them to this point. But have they met their match here in this Philadelphia Eagles group? That becomes it. Because, again, Jalen Hurts and the offense get a lot of headlines, but in the end, if they can win this game, and because the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, they faced the Buccaneers, and they scored like 9 points. And it was that pass rush of the Buccaneers that savaged Patrick Mahomes in that offense. It was also the fact that the Chiefs had a banged-up offensive line.
Yeah,
in that
Brown
game.
And Hurts hadn't got together. It seems like a while since they had a big game, like a monster game.
Yes,
AJ Brown. So that's the guy I'm looking to have a big game in the Super Bowl.
AJ Brown. He gets some single coverage. He'll get some single coverage because that run game, they got to be able to play downhill and stop that RPO game.
And they got those rookies in the secondary.
Oh yeah, jump some routes. This says Kareem made one all-time three-pointer. One all-time three. Did not know that. This says Bucky gets busy with his wife at halftime. That's, you know, that's
prop bet.
Probably. I got yes. I got the check mark.
Oh, yeah.
I got the check mark. Here's a prop bet. It says, will Rihanna's halftime show be a devil worshiping ceremony like Sam Smith's at the Grammys? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Sam Smith, that song is called Unholy, though. That's the name of the song that won the Grammy the other day. Kansas City is second in sacks for the year. That's what this text says. That is true. And, you know, Chris Jones, their man, war
daddy.
Dude,
they put him out there at the end. That's I don't care who it is at tackle. He's a problem when he lines up wide.
You know, he's climbing the ladder of the all-time playoff sack leaders.
Oh, yeah.
And his performance in the AFC Championship game was pretty legendary. He was unbelievable. He was just a wrecking crew against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. When they needed a big play and a big third down, he was hitting or knocking out Joe Burrow
in
that game.
And he feels like he has not played up to his best in Super Bowls, and he really wants to try to rectify that. Now, as I said to you, when he lines up in that wide line alignment, he's out there really one-on-one, and he doesn't give a rat's ass about your running back chipping him. He'll break your running back's neck. If your running back sticks a shoulder out there, he'll break his neck.
You know, this is probably not funny, but in my own head, whenever I see Chris Jones, and he's become an all-pro player, he's one of the three or four best defensive players in the league, but I always think of his combine. Remember, he was the big defensive lineman that was running the 40, and he fell at the end when he got to the tape, and he got up, and his wang was hanging out. Remember, like the AstroTurf pulled his.
You mean my wang?
My wang, yes. His man thing was hanging out.
Come on, man.
Yeah, because he went straight down, and of course the turf like tugs on his spandex there, and he stands up. He doesn't even realize it.
And oh my, came out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now they had to blur that out on NFL Network, but that was Chris Jones when he was at the combine.
Dude,
way back
we are about a month away. Right, really close to the combine, too. After this is over with the combines, it's a matter of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that is great stuff.
It all cranks up. Derek Carr could be traded before the Super Bowl or soon after. We'll get you the details on that coming up. The NFL offseason. Yeah, it's become a 24-hour.
What I don't need is Aaron Rodgers to retire right now. I need him to go into the dark for 4 days and give us a hint of what he's going to do.
Hey, we'll hit some hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through this show. We'll be at the halfway point at the top of the hour. We will talk about that Derek Carr move. Do you like the Saints as an option for him? Was that the first of many quarterback dominoes to fall this offseason? We'll talk about it with you here on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
Hot not on a wet Wednesday. National Boy Scouts Day. National Boy Scouts Day. I never made it to Boy Scouts, Buck.
I was a Cubby.
Me too. Cub Scout, Weebelo.
I was a Weebelo and a Cubby, and then that was it for me.
That was it. Then I started liking girls, and I bailed
liking
out.
Liking girls, played in sports, and didn't like campouts.
Got paper route and stuff like that.
Oh, that paper route. Oh.
Tough to do Boy Scouts with a paper route. Needed to make some moolah. But yeah, we got a lot to do here, including, are you hot on this? We talked about it a little yesterday, but now more revealing coming out that maybe Kevin Costner's run is done on Yellowstone. Apparently he's asking for, for the first half of season 5, he had cut back, number of days he was willing to shoot pretty significantly, and now he wants to, only shoot, for a week for the second half, and they're about to just write his character off of the show.
Who does he think he is? Harrison Ford?
Well, he's got a new show he's putting together.
Oh.
He's got a new big epic Western he's doing for one of the other other broadcast networks, so he's tied up over there doing that, old Kevin Costner. And as we told you yesterday, the reports are that Taylor Sheridan and Paramount are potentially in negotiations with our own Matthew McConaughey to be part of they may just pick up a new spinoff show kind of Yellowstone, but in a different ilk, and that McConaughey would become the lead dog. Is that, we've seen
him. Right, from locally?
I don't know if it would be remember Yellowstone had the one part of season 4 where they went to the 666 ranch here in Texas and did a lot of stuff here. You wonder if that would be part of it, and of course, McConaughey would fit in pretty well in that. And look, McConaughey has become quite the actor, right? We started with Dazed and Confused, but, we've seen him do some pretty dramatic characters in his time now. So, yeah, he could pull it off. So we'll see.
For sure.
Hot on that? I would be hot on that. Are you hot on this number? That it now that according to a new piece of research, that children become more tech savvy than their parents by age 12.
I was going to say that. That was the number just in my head, I thought, around 12 years old, I would think.
By age 12.
And then they're done out of that at 17, or done.
I guess, yeah. The 1 in 7 parents have had kids that have outwitted them and disabled things like parent controls on social media. And, to more tech savvy by 12. That's how quickly the tech is developing. This is 666 Ranch. 4 sixes. Oh, yeah, I said 666. Sorry. All right. So Our producer this morning is Jack Farrell. He's doing a great job.
Jack Farrell.
Jack, do you notice anything on Hot or Not that we've missed halfway through this Wednesday edition?
Something that caught my eye, a Super Bowl party pack kind of a thing.
Nice.
$1 million for you and 11 of your closest friends can go hang out with Shaq,
ooh,
Gronk, and Guy Fieri. And you get security detail, unlimited vodka and champagne, a fleet of SUVs, a VIP bathroom, a spa day, and concerts by Machine Gun Kelly and the Chainsmokers. $1 million price tag on that.
For how many friends? You and how many?
11?
11.
Okay, you guys split it.
A dozen of you, huh?
You know, maybe we could do that. That sounds kind of fun, actually. Chainsmokers are pretty good. Shaq would be good to hang out with, right?
Oh, yeah.
We'll just go to the neighborhood party. Just do that. How about that?
Yeah, that'd cost you less than a mil.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get enough friends, you could divide it up, pay $100,000 each, or what would that cost? Yeah, just get this thing done. But I would be enjoyable. That would be an enjoyable day. You're numb, but you're good. You got your own party. You got your own halftime festivities.
Absolutely.
So you're ready. You're ready. Speaking of the Super Bowl and watch parties, we are going to talk to Brian Billick in our 9 o'clock hour, former Baltimore Ravens coach, his assessment of this game. Who does he favor, Eagles or Chiefs? Also more on the matchup of Pat Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and these guys. Take your thoughts on that. Would you be a part of it? Shaq, who else did you say?
Gronk and Guy Fieri.
Ooh, Gronk might get annoying. Now, is Gronk going to bring one of his girlfriends
with him? The Gronkettes coming?
The Gronkettes? You know, now you're moving in a better direction. All right, good stuff there, Jack. I like that question. That's interesting.
Mm.
You know, Super Bowl parties, we know will be the most watched show. I mean, is it fair to say in Hot or Not that the NFL, we know that the AFC Championship game did like a $54 million rating, which was just ridiculous. I mean, almost Super Bowl-like numbers for the AFC and NFC Championship games. And then the Pro Bowl, which is a flag football game.
Oh, God.
You realize this? So the NBA had a Mavericks-Warriors game on Saturday night, and then the next night, ABC, same network, had that Pro Bowl flag football game. Six times the viewership to watch the NFL flag football Pro Bowl versus...
People will watch XFL football.
Yeah, they were.
And they will. They really will this spring. Man.
Okay. By the way, how much did you say that was? $1 million?
$1 million wholesale. So $1 million is basically 12 tickets.
Get those fleet of cars, too.
Unlimited vodka and champagne.
Oof.
Somebody will pay for that.
Of course they will.
Remember, speaking of Kevin Costner, he was selling the ability to stay at his own ranch, not the Yellowstone Ranch, but his own ranch in, like, Colorado for 3 days, and it was, like, ridiculously expensive. I wouldn't do any of those things.
No.
Save your money. Go to your own Super Bowl party. It's B&E on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.